This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go.
Thank you.
Please join us for a word of prayer.
Father God, we just come to you in the humblest manner, just to individually and collectively say thank you. Thank you for just watching over us and keeping us in the midst of everything that's going on around us. We ask that you continue to wrap your loving arms and keep your loving arms around us, Father God, because we need you every second, every minute, every hour, every day, oh God. We thank you for just being a loving God, a powerful God, a merciful God, and a patient God, because many times we come short of your glory, but over and over, you show us to us once and for all that you are indeed a God of another chance. For that we say thank you. Father God, we just ask you to just bless the message on this day, blessing the messengers all across the pulpits, across the nation, across the world. Father God, because it's a time we need to hear a word from you. We need to hear it right now. Touch someone's heart. Touch someone's soul. Touch someone's mind, that whatever's shaking that's got them stirred up, that they can be moved away, and they will realize, Father God, that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life, that your word stands strong, it stands tall yesterday and forever, today and forever, Father God. We ask for these things in our Son Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember, first as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online, or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I was a man, adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you.
The Bible says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Love never fails. Now let's join Mr. Vernon Moore as he explores this topic further.
And it reads as follows, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you with bowed heads, closed eyes, and open humble hearts. Just thank you for another unpromised day, one we've never seen before, one we'll never see again. When we laid down last night, put our heads to the pillow, we realized, Father God, this day was not promised to us, but you spoke one word, and by your grace and mercy, we are here. We pray that everything has been thus far has been done to your will and to your way, and Father God, you indeed worthy to be praised. And as I stand here, move me behind the cross, Father God, for they can see and hear you, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right. I come to you this morning with the title of the message, Let's Start a Love Train. Oh yeah, oh yeah. From the response I just got, I took some people back. It's safe to say I know my people. That's all right. Love is defined by Webster as a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. Another definition is listed as affection based on admiration, benevolence, or common interest. In short, we're basically told where there's a group of people, whether it be blood relatives or those who we've gotten the opportunity to know well enough to consider them friends or to a degree even family, we have the same interest, taste, and values. And if that's the case, chances are very high that love is in the air. In a perfect world, we have created a beautiful place to live in essence, a sense of paradise. Now, let's imagine all those individuals being together on a train ride. Has anybody out here been on a train ride before? Okay. I haven't personally had that experience yet. But however, from the research I've done, that is one of the best experiences one can have, and that a tour can be taken across our nation, checking out the scenery that consists of the most beautiful places in our country. And although I've yet experienced a train ride, I can envision a scenario where there's people from all walks of life coming together for a wonderful ride. Again, I say that's an atmosphere where love is indeed in the air. It's safe to say that that is an atmosphere that Kenneth Gamble and Leon Huff had in mind when they wrote the lyrics of the song Love Train Perform, of course, by the OJs. Now, if allowed, let me just take a moment to share a few lyrics of the song. It says, people all over the world, everybody, join hands, join. Let's start a love train, love train. And as the song continues, the train ride takes us to England. It takes us to Russia, China, Africa, Israel, and Egypt too. Encouraging one and all to get on board. Overall, that song can be considered as a timeless classic, for the primary message of the song is love. Love for all mankind, everywhere we go and in everything that we do. As we look at today's passage, brothers and sisters, Paul is trying to remind us of the same thing, that we need to start a love train, and that love must be present in every details, in every aspect of our lives. In chapter 12 of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul shares with us that there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. That's found in verse 4. In addition, he speaks of differences in ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 5. As we continue to read the chapter, we find for ourselves that the Lord has blessed people with various gifts, some with the word of wisdom, others with the gift of knowledge, some with the gift of healing, others with the gift of miracles, some with the gift of prophecy, others with the discerning of spirits, some with the gift of speaking in tongues, others the interpretation of tongues. All these are found in verses 8 through 10. So you see that we have many individuals with many gifts. Yet we, in the midst of everything, we need to be ever mindful that God is present in all of them because he has all the power. Now, as Paul shared this information with us, he reminds us that we are many members, yet one body, and that one body part cannot function without the other. In doing so, he seems to be creating a foundation for love for one another, which breeds compassion, which breeds respect. Undoubtedly, Paul's objective for such is that although we strive for perfection, we're not perfect people. The journey we're on for the Lord is a lifelong process. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, there are times we fall off the course every now and then. Thus, we need to be reminded of what our primary objective should be. And it seems that Paul is doing just that in today's message. As I stated from the previous chapter, Paul informs us of the various gifts that God has given us and how we should maximize them for the purpose of glorifying God in his kingdom. However, in chapter 13, Paul points out that if love is not established as a foundation when we exercise our gifts, our activities are done in vain, because basically we've done nothing. Upon reviewing verses 1 through 4, we find that Paul shares with us that we have been blessed with many gifts, and there are opportunities that we can provide good deeds to and for others. However, if these gifts And these practices are done for the promotion of recognition of oneself. And there's no love involved. It profits us nothing. This is confirmation of the words that we find in Luke chapter 14, verse 11, when it tells us that a person who exalts himself will be humbled. A person who humbles themselves will be exalted. Brothers and sisters, we are reminded today that all we need to do is the work that God has required us to do with love in our hearts, all the while taking self out of the equation, and He will reward us accordingly. Amen? Amen. If we fail to do so, we run the risk of creating this scenario. We can appeal to the world that we can be doing everything right, have the most beautiful voice, being nice, sharing deeds, doing our good deeds. But God has a way of exposing us to show that we are no earthly good. Brothers and sisters, it's safe to say, don't play with God. As we continue, we find in verse 4 that Paul says that love suffers long. Now, at first glance, that appears to be an oxymoron, using love and suffer in the same sentence. That's basically like saying, that's a fine mess. Doesn't sound pretty, does it? At all. However, if we take a time to dig a little deeper, we can find that in this passage that the word suffer is defined by being patient, enduring, tolerant of one another. That, of course, is an ongoing process for us all. How many times in a day does our patience get tested when someone's about to get on our last nerve? Do we always resolve the situation in a manner of love? Now, while you're taking a moment to answer those questions, let me present these two questions to you. One, how many times a day do you think we get on God's last nerve? And two, does He deal with us in a loving manner? Personally, I think we know the obvious answers to those questions, and the fact that we're here today proves just that fact. No matter how many times we come short of the glory of God, He keeps on blessing us over and over again, all the while showing His unending and undenying love for us all and revealing to us all, as the song says, that He is indeed a God of another chance. Amen. Now, as we continue to expand on God's undenying and unending love, we don't have to look any further than His own Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If there's any doubts about love being patient and enduring, there is no better example. You think about Him suffering for us all, dying on the cross. Yet as His earthly life was ending, He found the strength to utter the words, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Brothers and sisters, that's love, amen? And yet, we have a tendency to get in our feelings, pout, and withdraw when things don't go our way, simply because our opinion or point of view is not shared by all. Family, if we took the time to realize and value how patient and loving our God is to us all, we would discover that the things that we fret over are very petty and to a certain degree worthless. Once we get to that point, we can put that dead weight aside, go forward, and do what we must to start our love train. Amen? Now, as we continue with today's passage, we find that Paul is providing us with characteristics of love. And there are a few of them that I'd like to share today. It says, one, love does not behave rudely. In other words, there is no such thing as a hateful Christian. Now, we're living in a time of pandemic where we're practicing social distancing. You tell somebody that you're a hateful Christian, you'll see some social distancing take place then. Ain't nobody want to be around no hateful Christian. I know I don't. Now, two, love does not seek its own. A simple reminder to us all. It's not about us, but it's all about Jesus. Three, love does not think of evil, nor does it rejoice in iniquity. In short, pure love does not have any time for mess. Love rejoices in the truth. And if we're believers, we know that the truth is of God, and God is love. Why is love important, you ask? Well, I Googled, and because I was curious to see how many times love is mentioned in the Bible. And this is what I came up with. Now, as we know, there are many translations of the Bible. In the English Standard Version, love is mentioned 684 times. The King James Version, it's mentioned 442 times. The New American Standard Version, 479 times. The New Living Translation, 759 times. The New International Version, 686 times. And in the Message Translation, 611 times. So basically, it's saying that love is mentioned at least 1.5 times per day on average, give or take a few. So if love is essential to God's word, it should be essential to us all. That is, if our objective is to be Christ-like. Now, when I was a youth, I was introduced to a song that simply said that if everybody was like Jesus, what a wonderful world this would be. Now, as I've gotten older and reflect on that memory, I realize that such a moment can only be achieved if we desire to be Christ-like, doing all things with love. Speaking of being a youth, Paul takes a moment to reflect on such in verse 11. In the passage, we find that Paul is encouraging all of us to mature, both emotionally and spiritually. And in so many words, he's stressing to us that the things that bothered us in grade school shouldn't even be an issue once we've been granted the opportunity to be middle-aged people. In other words, brothers and sisters, Paul is basically saying to us all, time out for all of that. And if any of us continue to suffer from that mindset, allow me to be a source of encouragement to us all. We serve a God with all the knowledge and all the power, clearly aware of everything that we have done, clearly aware that everything that we're doing, clearly aware of everything we're about to do. Yet, because he is a God of grace and mercy, he continues to bless us daily simply because he loves us so. That very fact should encourage us all. If God is dealing with us that way, it gives us to recognize we should deal with one another. I'm going to leave it at that for a moment, let you think about that. Now, as I come to a conclusion, we find that the words of Paul in this passage gives us a blueprint of what our life house should be like and how the foundation of the house should be built on love. Now, that's not to say, however, that we won't have moments of conflict amongst our households. God created us all in his own image, but because of the choices that we make, we develop different lifestyles. We develop different personalities. We develop different values, all of which can and will potentially cause conflict every now and then. Now, however, that's not to say that all conflict is bad conflict. And once we realize such, we should be able to embrace our similarities and accept our differences. The words in 1 Peter 3rd chapter 3rd verse encourages all to be of one mind, having compassion for one another. In doing so, we're able to, in spite of our differences, let brotherly love continue as stated in Hebrews 13:1. Now, in closing, I want to share the following words of a song with you. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is his will that every need be applied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Those lyrics should set a foundation of things we should do and how everything should be built on love. Now, that's not saying, as I mentioned earlier, that there won't be moments of conflict. But when those adverse moments occur, the following words of the songs also serve as a foundation. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. Now, if we allow those words to remain in our hearts, individually and collectively, we will be able to do what is necessary to start our love train. Amen? Amen. Now, as I mentioned, love is very important. Paul stresses that in today's passage. The theme of the month is the message in our music. And we in Vacation Bible School we had a couple weeks ago, we said, the message was faith, hope, peace, and love. As much as I was teaching the kids, I was teaching myself, because hope reminds me there is no one like God, and no matter what situation comes forward, I should be encouraged. Faith comes about because if I have faith, I know that God has the power. And because I have hope and I have faith, I have a sense of peace. And when I have all those three, knowing that God is amidst all that, there is love. Amen? Amen. Now, everybody pretty much knows me that I'm a music lover and I listen to all genres. I mean, there's so much that love cannot be emphasized enough. Frankie Beverly tells us that love is the key. I know I'm not the only one that listens to Frankie Beverly. There's a song by Celine Dion says, love can move mountains. There's a song by Annie Lennox and Al Green says, we need to put a love in our heart and this world would be a better place. Now see, when I said Al Green, y'all probably were thinking another song. Not today, brothers and sisters. Not today. Now, Lionel Richie says that love will conquer all. Then he reminds us when he was at Commodores that Jesus is love. So brothers and sisters, love cannot be emphasized enough. And there's nothing that can't be dealt with love. Amen? Now, with a round of applause, I'm going to ask, how many of us know we have haters in our lives? Clap your hands if you got haters. Now, I didn't look up because I wanted to hear the reaction. For those who clap their hands, I encourage you just to stay prayed up because those haters ain't going anywhere. For those who might have not have clapped your hands, keep on living because them haters are lurking. I know I have my share of haters. And as a football fan, and football season is coming around the corner, as I'm about to clean up my Xbox again, I'm about to track even more haters. But I bring that up to say this. Even in the midst of your haters, there's love. I mean, the haters can come at you with anything and everything, throwing all limits in all aspects of your life. But this I'm going to show you how good and awesome our God is. Not only will he allow us to make lemonade out of lemons, but he'll create a scenario where the table is set, where the enemy will sit down and request a glass of lemonade from the lemons they gave you. And ain't God good? Won't he turn around and work things in your favor? That's how amazing and awesome our God is. So I ask you today, don't ever let no one or nothing separate you from the love of God or just take the love out of your heart. Because as the song goes in Love Train, if you miss that train, I feel sorry, sorry for you. Now, I know there's some times that we live in, but God is still on the throne. And where there's the presence of God, there is love. Amen? Amen? So therefore, I ask you to be encouraged. And I think about how we talked about love breeds compassion and respect. And I think about what Simone Biles has gone through the last week and the love and compassion that she's received. God bless that sister. And that's an example of how we should let brother, and I would add, sisterly love continue, amen? So, although things have changed and things are constantly changing around us, the word of God still remains the same. Over 30 years ago, the Winans introduced a song to us. It said, it's time to make that change. We are the people that can do it. And I think, I look as I scan around the room, I see enough God in all y'all to make a difference. So with a round of applause, how many of us want to start a love train today? Amen. On that note, I say, let's ride. May God bless you and may God keep you. And let us continue to keep him because that is the only way the love train is going to keep chugging along. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.